Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by June from Murphy's. Welcome, June.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Doing well.
Great, great. Tell us about Sherry's books.
I'm assuming you're referring to the newest one. Let's see, where shall I start? It's a sequel to There Is Nothing Wrong With You. I think that's the thing that most people would be interested in knowing.
Yeah.
It just kind of expands on the themes in There Is Nothing Wrong With You. It gives very specific practices to engage in. To try to tear down self-hate and put it in its place, get those voices to quiet down a little bit.
Yes, yes. Remind us of who we really are.
It was fun to write. It was fun to edit and it's create in the sense that there's so much of what Sherry has been teaching for quite a while in the book. The process is usually that Sherry will just start writing and just start feeding stuff to me, just sort of emailing it to me or handing it to me, these essays that she's written, things that just kind of pour through her.
Yes.
And when I get a bunch of it, we look at it and say, you know, I think this is a book.
Yeah.
And so this one, there's just a wealth of material. Actually, kind of paring it down, it was probably the most challenging part.
The most challenging part is selecting what's going to be in there and what's not.
Yeah, there's so much that can go in. And anybody who has been reading the books for a while knows that in almost every book, we put the definitions of some of our terms in there.
Yes.
And so this time, we just put them all in a glossary at the end with exercises. So that was fun to do.
Yes, yes, I've been enjoying that.
Well, good. We're getting good feedback.
Good.
That's nice.
And has it been a similar process with each book? That Sherry will start writing and then send it to you, and then you get to a point and you say, this is a book.
It has. Some books we set out to write on purpose. and those are actually fun, too, because we can create an outline and kind of follow it. Other books that just kind of grow from things that Sherry writes and we start accumulating. They don't organize themselves as well as working from an outline. In the first several books, we have little explanation at the beginning that this book just doesn't follow any real specific order. Just read it and enjoy it as it is.
Yes. Yes.
And then I think on my end, I got a little bit better at organizing material, taking a page from Sarah Jenkins' book, no pun intended. people who are following along know that Sarah published four books of Sherry's teachings.
Yes.
Which Keep It Simple Books now owns and distributes.
Yes.
Publishes.
Yes, Trying to Be Human, for example.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, and I think in one of those introductions you mentioned about the order of it, I think it said something like, you know, it's kind of like life. We don't know which direction actually it's going to go.
Yeah. So, you know, just from a personal point of view, kind of learning to be an editor by the seat of my pants has been... alternately accelerating and terrifying. And realizing that I didn't know how to structure a book was one of the most terrifying moments of my life. But it, you know, it's just been incredible practice. I can't imagine. Can't imagine doing anything in life that has been more and challenging and worthwhile.
Yes, yes. And I'll speak for me, the benefits to me of your work and Sherry's work is indescribable. I can't put words to it.
Michael, you're cutting out a little bit.
I'll say that again. Speaking for myself, the benefit to me of your work and Sherry's work has just been incredible, indescribable, transformational.
Well, that was kind of the reason we started.
Yes.
So, all right. We're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I noticed that some of the books are more content focused, like, for example, the depression book or parenting or sex and money. And some of them, like The Key and That Which You're Seeking, are more process focused, even though it's the same underlying concepts and practice.
That's true, Michael. I've never looked at it quite that way, but that is true. You know, we've said about the depression book many times that you could just take the word depression out of the book and plug in your particular thing that bugs you. And the process of looking at depression would be the same process as looking at whatever, you know, worry, anger, whatever it is that people struggle with.
Yes. That is really fascinating. That had never occurred to me.
Yeah.
So if I do worry and fear, for example, I can throw a worry and fear party, as was suggested in the depression book.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, that's a fun idea.
Take a picture of it. You know, the process for disidentifying that is enumerated in the book would be for anything, any place that we're caught in struggling.
Yes, yes.
The techniques of being able to step back and look from that disidentified perspective at what's going on, instead of just being caught in it, you know, which is just such a huge and valuable.
Yes, indeed.
Such a huge part of the practice.
Yes. June, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
That can't have been 10 minutes. Well, it was. Well, I clearly enjoyed it. Thank
Great.
You, Michael.
Great. Thank you, June.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
A little trip down memory lane there.
Yeah, that was very fun for me. I'll tell you, what a long way we've come from that. Couldn't you write it out by hand and draw some little? And even though, I heard clearly the spiritual opportunity that it's been for June to, me finding out that she had those degrees in English, that was the beginning of the end for her. for me, having, yes, I know it's been extremely challenging and terrifying and wonderful ways to be in that position. For me to have somebody who does the practice at the depth that June does it, who I can work with to help me express what it is that I'm trying to articulate is it's been life-changing for me, and I think the benefit to the practice is just you there, Michael.
Yeah, I couldn't hear the word. You said the benefit to the practice.
Oh,
is...
incalculable.
Yes. Indeed, you got to the place that I got to where words fail me.
Yeah, so that was good. It was a fun process, and I was just telling people I'm on retreat, and I was just telling people that there are a couple of more books coming up, so I don't know if I've mentioned that to June, but if she's still listening, I'm sure she's cringing right now. Recovery from this one.
Wonderful. I'll look forward to those also.
Yeah.
I'm not even through the first one yet.
Yeah.
The one that just came out.
Mm.
And I have some announcements here.
Right.
As you mentioned and June mentioned, your new book, What You Practice Is What You Have, is now out and available.
Mm.
And there are plenty of opportunities to see you as well. And there's a new one just added to the calendar, and that's at East West Bookstore in Seattle on December 9th at 7 p.m.
Yes.
As well as those that we mentioned last week, which are the Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael on October 29th at 7:30 p.m. and a workshop in San Diego on November 6th, a workshop in San Jose at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment on November 13th, another East-West bookstore, this one in Mountain View on November 18th at 7:30 p.m., workshop at the Mountain View Zen Center on December 12th, and the New Year's retreat in San Rafael, December 27th through January 1st.
A not-to-be-missed event.
Yes. None of them.
I might be the only one who's able to do all of them, but any that people can get to, I'll be happy to see them.
Great. Wonderful. And we have some callers here.
Good.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Why aren't you here?
Pardon?
Why aren't you here?
It's a, I don't know.
Just checking.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
So what's going on is one of the things that conditioning is working on me, and what's been going on is there's been a lot of change going on in my life right now. again, as usual. That seems to always be happening. And what I'm noticing is that conditioning is trying to find associations. So whatever it is that's going on right now, you know, there was like a period of just like tons of things going on. It really felt like I was in the flow of life. And things were going, you know, really great. And what conditioning is doing is now it's saying, like, it's trying to get me into a conversation about how things are about to turn for the worse, or actually that they already have. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
yeah.
In spite of all of the evidence to the contrary?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That kind of makes it easier, doesn't it?
You know, it does, and it does. You're right. Yeah, that's true. And I know that it's doing it, which again makes it easier. And yet, I'm finding that I buy into it.
Uh huh. Now, is there a feeling that it just kind of wears you down, or do you sense that there's a part of you who wants to engage, and this is a good opportunity?
You know, it feels like, well, here's what I've noticed, and I'm not sure, and I think that's something that I want to look at. But what I've noticed is that I'll end up being in a conversation where it's on the other side of the conversation, and what, you know, whomever is colluding with conditioning is doing is trying to figure out if things are bad or if they're not so bad.
Yeah.
You know,
what you describe kind of sounds like waking up out of a dream.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, in which you're having this conversation, this completely ridiculous conversation, and wondering, what am I doing? What is that about?
That's exactly what it feels like, and it feels like it, you know, when I wake up to it, it you know, it gets to the point where, you know, I've been off with it for long enough that when I get out of it, it's like, you know, I can totally feel that my energy has just been sucked out. And then it wants to, you know, beat me up about it or whatever.
Yes.
And I'm in this kind of, you know, drained space where, you know, the person who can step in to stop the beating, it makes it a lot more difficult for them to do that, because I'm in this kind of drained place.
Yeah. And no idea where you've been when you've been, you know, where your conscious awareness might have been while you were off doing this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you just go to sleep for a while, have this bad dream in which you're talking to these people, wake up and feel the residue of the bad dream, and
yeah,
kind of less able to just get on with life.
Yeah, and then I think that the real kicker is, so that's what's going on, right? And the real, like, you know, and on some level I can see that process. And then there's what happens is conditioning uses the fact that whole process is happening to, you know, to try to convince me that depression is starting again.
Uh-huh.
You know, that this is a signal that my life is not going the way it should, and that you know, what it projects would be a bad life is going to, you know, a bad period in my life is going to re-happen.
Yeah, even though your life is great.
Even though my life is great.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Do you do all of the things like setting an alarm to go off every 15 minutes or whatever?
I have done that. And
okay, it's time
yeah.
to start again.
Yeah.
okay? And you check in. So it's an alarm. So you're going to set an alarm to wake yourself up and see if you're in a bad dream. Okay?
Yeah.
When you realize that you're in a bad dream, you ready for a little program here?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. When you realize that you're in that bad dream, so is your life such that you can carry around a small pad of paper and a pen?
Yes.
Okay. So you have your little pad of paper and a pen, and write it on your little pad of paper, draw a line, you know, from top to bottom, so that you have two columns on your piece of paper. And on one side of the one column, you title me, and the other one you title it. Okay? And when the alarm goes off, or when you just happen to become aware of the fact that you are not lost in some sort of depressing conversation with it, you put a little hash mark on your under me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one point for you. When you come to and you've been caught by that nightmare conversation, what you do is make a little mark for it, because it won that one, and then now this will be at a level of willingness to your practice that you probably have never encountered before, and that is that you're going to jump up and down, okay, and shake your arms and legs as you jump up and down, and say, okay, I'm letting that go, and then you proceed. Now, if you strike yourself funny while you're doing that, it's laughing gives you bonus points, actually. So, in fact, if you jump up and down and shake all over and rid yourself of that energy, you get another little mark on your side under me. And if it strikes you funny and you laugh and you can actually feel your energy change, you get another little mark.
Yeah.
Can you picture? Yeah. Because otherwise, here's the bottom line with this. If you don't take some sort of action in the sense of starting a practice campaign against this, then the only one campaigning is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's got a campaign going, and you're just kind of a fish in a barrel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's firing away.
Yeah.
So just kind of waiting and hoping that it quits or that you survive it, and that's way too passive for what we're up against.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it also it's funny because I set an alarm yesterday for the first time in a long time, and when the alarm went off, it was like, oh yeah, okay, the alarm went off. And then I kept on doing whatever I was doing, and so I can see how actually physically getting up and moving would really be in aid of like increasing the chances I'm going to actually wake up from whatever it is that's going on.
Yes. That's exactly right. You've got to shift the energy and take charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it wants you to just sit there. So I was actually writing something about that today with the tweets that go out. And a number of people have been saying to me that, yeah, you know, now they just kind of come in and I go, yeah, okay, there's a tweet. Well, you know, we have to bring a little more than that to the party if we want something to be different. So one of the places that we become familiar with looking for in practice is that little voice of willingness that says, you can do this. So there you are sitting there, the alarm goes off, and you realize that you know, just below the level of conscious awareness, that campaign is being waged against you. And there will be the impulse to do nothing about it, to just kind of check in to see, oh, yeah, I don't feel that good. Oh, yeah, probably I'm going to get depressed. Oh, yeah. And you'll hear a little reminder to get up and move. That's the relationship that you're building. That's the one that you start listening for and going with.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is not out of a place of fear of what might happen if I don't, but more from a place of compassion or even like just excitement for my life.
Exactly.
Or open, you know, it feels like what conditioning wants me to be doing is like either defending myself or fighting against it.
Right.
I can see that that's really different than you know, opening up my life for what's going to happen.
Yes.
Keeping my life open for what's going to happen next.
Yes, and taking a stand for you.
Right.
So you're not going to sit passively by on the sidelines as somebody hijacks your life.
Right. Right. And I'm not even going to fight against it. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be it at just to work to clean out my life for life to come and live it.
Precisely. Yes.
Yeah.
And jumping around and being silly and laughing at it is the best fight you can put up against it.
Yeah.
It can't deal with that kind of thing.
Mm-mm.
Like all bullies, it can't cope with being laughed at. Okay.
Thanks, Sherry.
Your assignment. Let us know.
I will. Thank
all
you.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear about Sangha Market and a helpful message, and we'll be right back.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. It's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. You?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about something today. I've been spending some time just experiencing feelings like hurt and sadness and disappointment. Just kind of trying to stay with them. My question was, the feelings like they're coming, the feelings feel very authentic, like they're coming from my heart. rather than from conditioning. And I just wanted to run that by you and see what your response would be, because I couldn't imagine what you would say.
So we pick one. There's hurt. Is that a good one, or sadness?
Either one, I don't mind.
So we'll look at hurt. And where do you feel hurt?
Well, it's kind of a full body sensation. Goes all the way up the chakras to my throat, really.
Okay. And how do you know it's hurt?
Well, I suppose I went through a few steps of feeling angry in the morning and thinking, well, what's underneath this? Because that's the anger. And I sort of tried to stay with it, you know, breathing through it. And what was underneath it was sadness. And then I just saw hurts I was feeling. And it is about something that's just recently happened, actually.
Okay.
So I sort of saw the three emotions kind of coexisting.
Three what coexisting?
The three emotions.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so there was an event in your life. Something happened.
Right.
And your initial response was what you would label angry.
Yeah.
Okay. And then... and so where did you feel that?
Probably mostly in my head.
Okay, so that was a conversation, a story.
And lots of energy. Conversation, yeah.
Okay, so lots of energy rocketing around. And then when you stayed with it, how did you get to it was sadness? How did you come up with the label of sadness?
I'm not sure, really. It just felt like, I suppose, whatever I was experiencing fulfilled my definition of sadness. I mean, I did sort of look at it that way.
Okay.
But the reason why I had the sense that it was authentic is that I felt the emotions were connecting me to myself, if that makes sense.
Yes. It's
like,
just that... Uh-huh.
Like it was kind of... Part of me was really trying to get this across. Like, to tell me, you know, this is sad. I'm hurt. And what I would normally do is would probably distract myself, but I didn't. I just stayed with it, and it kind of subsided.
And so it felt like a part of you was really hurt or sad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone young?
Well, I don't know about that. I think what I'm trying to say, I suppose, is that it didn't seem like a construction, like a conversation and a story. Just seemed like just realizing that that was like a truthful response. You're like, oh, yeah, that really hurt, you know?
Yes. Well, you know, to me now, there are two different things going on here.
Mm.
So I can certainly understand that progression. It's the progression of choice for me. Something happens. The first response is what would seem like what we would call anger. It's a pushing away, get whatever that is away from me, get some distance from that. Then I might look at it a little closer and see that that I felt really hurt, or maybe I felt disappointed, or that sort of thing, and I would, here would be my approach to that. I would look to see what part of me was feeling that way. So for me, it would be someone who was young and felt misunderstood or slighted or whatever the thing was that somebody did that resulted in that reaction. And so I would have a tendency to offer comfort to that person and mentoring if it was an aspect of the personality, because it would very likely be a young person who didn't really have a large enough perspective on life to know that it very likely wasn't what the person meant, and it wasn't intentional, and all of those kinds of things. On another level, what I would be aware of is that that's a karmic reaction. So it's up to me to offer care and comfort to the aspects of me who have been injured or feel wounded or that sort of thing, to help them grow into a state of being able to be in the world in well-being, rather than staying in a wounded or injured place in which they would always react to certain things that happened in their world in the same way. You with me so far?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, it's an opportunity to look inside. Now, there's also the off chance that it's not an aspect of the personality, that in fact it's egocentric karmic conditioning, and it has no interest in being comforted or cared for. It just wants to be right or be wounded and strike out and be angry and upset with people and that sort of thing. So
well,
this stuff came with
a tremendous source of desire for love and to be loved.
Yes.
Which I kind of been ignoring for months, really. You know.
Uh huh. So it can be an opportunity for you to offer that care and loving kindness and compassion to the part of you who feels injured by something that happens in his world. So it can be a good opportunity for some non-dominant hand journaling or you probably haven't done the two chair exercise, but where you move into a role of dad, older brother, whatever, unconditionally loving presence who can embrace young person who feels hurt, feels sad.
I mean, I've been looking at some imago stuff, so I sort of had the sense that perhaps these emotions have been ruled out when I was a child to some degree.
Ooh, uh-huh.
Because at first it did feel like I was going to die, and I thought, hang on a minute, that's one of the hallmarks of this stuff. It's so threatening to the system to just sink into sadness. But I did it, and afterwards I was quite pleased that I did, because it didn't kind of hang around. And then the best bit was a couple of hours notice, I thought, oh my God, I'm not depressed. Normally I'd be really depressed after a day like this.
Yes.
I just noticed that I wasn't depressed, and it was like, you know, the payoff, I suppose, from just opening up to the emotion, as even though it seemed like an awful feeling at first, it seems to have worked.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're there with
it. In terms of my overall well-being.
Yep. You accept it. You feel it. Embrace
I just wanted to. I just wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to run it by you. That's all.
Say it again.
I just wanted to run it by you, you know,
yeah.
Because as soon as I kind of reached a positive conclusion, it was like conditioning was like, well, it's all just a story anyway, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you can remember being a little kid like that, but or being around little kids, you know, something happens and they get very upset about it and you stop for a few minutes and listen to them and hold them, hug them, whatever it is that is part of that relationship. Listen to them. They get it that they're okay. It's okay to feel the way you feel, and they're ready to move on to something else. It's when we don't get to have the experience that we tend to stay stuck in something.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it there for tonight.
All right. Good. Well, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm looking at something. Something kind of came home to me today that I generally operate out of a belief that if I don't scramble or if I don't make myself heard or, you know, I'm kind of a squeaky wheel, I won't get taken care of.
Uh-huh.
Or I won't get what I've earned or what I've signed up for or what I'm expecting, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Your due. I don't trust. Huh?
You won't get your due.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was looking at that, and I'm aware the conditioning both eggs me on to be the squeaky wheel and then beats me up for being the squeaky wheel.
Of course.
And says you should just trust life and trust people. And then if I trust and it, I miss out something, or something doesn't happen the way I had expected it to happen, conditioning will come in with, hey, you should have spoken up. You know, that is this big loop.
Yep.
And I'm aware that there's part of me who would really just like to let it all go and trust. And it just seems really hard.
Yes.
To just do that.
Okay. So, can I tell you what I was seeing as you were talking?
Yes.
Okay. So, if I am in a place of needing to assert myself in order to get what I want, I'm already in a place of deprivation in which I will never be satisfied. And you laid out perfectly how that's the case. Okay? Because I'm talked into that I need something, that I'm owed something, I deserve something, whatever. And so I'm in a place of lack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm in a place of dissatisfaction right there. if I try to do something to get something, it reinforces that. If I don't try to do something to get whatever it is, that's reinforced. And it's reinforced again. And what you laid out so perfectly is, and you're being egged on and beaten up in whichever direction you go.
Mm-hmm.
All of that happens in a place of lack.
Mm.
So once I move into lack, that's what I've moved into. There is no winning in lack. Okay? Does that make sense as a kind of a principle?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. So if I move into a place of fulfillment, right? So I want exactly what I have. I'm in a place of plenty and gratitude, sufficiency. I'm just a happy human, okay? And I'd like to have X. So I can ask for X. I can ask whoever is in charge of X. And if I get X, that's great. And if I don't get X, that's great. Because I'm already in a place of well-being and sufficiency. Mm-hmm. Nothing can be taken away from me when I'm in a place of well-being and sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Because well-being and sufficiency is something we have to give up. And lack is a place no one else can satisfy.
Mm-hmm. And from lack, if I ask for something and don't get it, it's my fault, it's their fault.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
There's something
wrong
with them. You know, it means all this stuff.
Yes. Yes. So all of those borders are set up to maintain the land
mm-hmm.
of lack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everybody is the enemy,
mm-hmm.
including you.
Wow,
living in the
yeah.
land of lack.
Right, and I'm the victim. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that made total sense.
Good.
That was very helpful.
Excellent. So you
okay.
know what the job is, right?
Yeah.
Focus on yeah. To focus on getting to staying in a place of gratitude and well-being, and then everything that you receive is just a lovely addition to. In fact, it gets to that. Oh, gosh, it just feels like too much goodness here coming my.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you said that earlier, I just went right to it. When you laid out, this is the land of lack, when we're living in gratitude and sufficiency and well-being, it's all okay. And I just went right there.
Yep.
So thank you.
I could tell you were tracking right along there.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Lack is no fun, is it, Sherry?
Mm. No, and that was really great. I'm so glad Catherine brought that up because, you know, it's like a law of nature. Once we understand that lack is lack and will ever be lack. Lack does not lead to sufficiency. And sufficiency never results in lack. Then we really are freed up to put our attention on what we want, which sounds a lot like a new book that just came out. But to get that whole one process doesn't lead to another. I'm not going to be able to stay in lack and complain and blame others long enough that I'll feel fulfilled. It's just not possible. So very helpful and important to get that, because of course conditioning wants us to believe that that's exactly what we need to do.
Yes, indeed. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
Right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porch Dog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porch Dog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Patty from Los Angeles.
Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Good.
So I'm calling because my birthday is tomorrow, and I wanted to celebrate by giving myself the present of having a little chat with you.
Well, wonderful. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I also have a very, very close friend who is on retreat right now in Connecticut.
I know
and,
that.
Yeah, and I was thinking, wow, she's so lucky. I wish I were there. And, I thought, well, I could call in and kind of be there.
That's right. That's right. So now we're all here together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And last year I was on retreat during my birthday. So that was amazing. I just came back from retreat about a month ago. I've just been looking at, kind of the process that happens after I come off retreat.
Uh-huh. And so...
And, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, last year when I came off retreat, I came home to a lot of noise and busyness. And the same thing has happened this time. But it feels a little bit different. And I think the difference is that I feel like I'm not losing myself in it,
Yes. So now the noise and busyness, does it is does that feel like it's external and it escalates? Is it internal? Does it feel like life kind of throws this at you, or you're more sensitive to it, or how does that show up?
Well, I do think that I'm more sensitive to it after coming back from retreat, but also I think it tends to escalate,
uh-huh.
and in an external way. And I mean, a perfect example of it was, you know, as soon as I left the monastery, I was, I had a 7-hour drive
uh-huh.
home, and for the first couple of hours, I was so present. You know, I was driving. There was the stereo wasn't on. I mean, it was just complete silence, and I just felt so aware of everything, and it was amazing. And then, you know, a couple hours after that, I sort of had this moment where I checked in with myself and I realized I was listening to the stereo, fumbling for my sunglasses, and eating French fries at the same time while I was driving.
Aha. A little takeover there.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, how did that happen? And that's kind of what I've been watching, you know, over the last month, just that kind of busyness that's happening. And you know, to the point where, like, you know, a few days ago, I was in Las Vegas, you know, having a cocktail at 11 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, conditioning wanted to make a big deal out of that and, you know, make up this. It's been campaigning, you know, to make up this story about how I've fallen off the practice wagon and, you know, completely lost it. And I'm just not buying it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That mostly what's happening, it sounds like, is that you're having a chance to see how conditioning does what it does to you.
Hmm.
We were talking about that, I think, last night on retreat, in fact, the power of allowing conditioning to do what it does. Instead of going on a big program of, okay, I'm not going to be who I used to be any longer, which is very tempting when we're doing awareness practice. You know, it's kind of like New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be this and this and this and this and this. And, of course, we can't maintain that. Thank God. And so you go along with seeing, being present to your life as conditioning has presented it to you. And you get to see when you're conscious, when you're not conscious, what it talks you into, what it beats you up over, how you get set up, and that's just, I mean, for me, that is awareness practice. That's how we learn not to step on the landmines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and conditioning has, you know, it's of course tried to co-opt my practice, and so it starts to have all these standards about what it means to be practicing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, its definition of practice means that I have to be living this, you know, sort of monastic life.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I've just been really seeing how that has been, you know, causing me to suffer. You know, it's like I hear that story about how I'm not practicing or I'm not practicing the right way. And, you know, it's like I immediately feel bad.
Yes. And what a perfect setup, because you should be practicing as if you were living in a monastery, even though you're not living in a monastery. And so if you can be made miserable about that often enough, then the conclusion that conditioning will offer you is, you see, you're just really not cut out for practice.
Mm.
And the whole thing never was true.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So the answer to that, of course, is monk. I don't live in a monastery. I'm doing awareness practice in the world. And if you really want to shake it up, you add, if I decide to become a monk, then I'll go in a monastery.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a way that conditioning, tries to steal my fun.
Yes. And your practice.
And my practice, right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it was just such a great moment when, you know, I'm having my piña colada by the pool in Las Vegas, and the voices are saying, you know, what's wrong with you?
What kind of a monk are you anyway?
Right. You know, look at you, you've gone unconscious, you know, and it's like, no, I haven't gone unconscious. I made a choice to have this piña colada and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. If I were unconscious, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just good. It's good. It's good to see it.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm actually really glad that things worked out this way, where I came back from retreat and things were and my life got really busy.
Yes.
And I got really involved in a lot of activities and stuff like that, because it's allowed me to see how, you know, conditioning will always use that as a way of trying to make me feel bad about my practice.
Yes.
And it's like, my life is always busy. You know, I'm always going to have a lot of stuff going on, or at least it seems to be that way.
So I become a monk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that with that attitude of mind, you cannot go wrong. With the, I'm really glad that this is happening because I'm having a chance to see. Fill in the blank. I'm really grateful for these life circumstances because what I'm getting a chance to bring awareness to is X.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, conditioned mind and self-hate get a ton of mileage out of this is not the experience you should be having.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm having fun. I'm having fun with it. And, another thing that it tells me a lot is, it's you're not practicing enough. That's the thing that I always hear. So, and meanwhile, it's the one that, you know, conditioning is the one that's telling me that I have to do all these other things instead of practice.
Yeah.
So after hearing this, you know, over and over, I decided, okay, well, I'm going to spend my whole day on practice. I'm going to devote my day to practice. And so that's what I did today. I made practice my priority and put everything else on the back burner. And it's just been so fun to do that, you know, to take that challenge. And did
conditioning nearly have a nervous breakdown, or did it?
It's not happy, but I am.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you have the happiest of all possible birthdays. And that perhaps you can slip into a no-conditioned mind zone for at least part of it. I would guess that a day of practice in preparation would be a great way to put yourself in position for that.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and I've been wanting to say thank you to you and Michael and everyone at the monastery, the monks, the facilitators, and everyone who helped out at the retreat. It was just a wonderful experience and very special.
Good. Well, they're all listening. So your message has been received.
Good.
Yeah. So
I hope they're not sitting on the porch getting wet, though.
I don't know. They might be inside.
It's raining over here.
All right. Well, take good care. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Soon. All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Jerry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sherry.
How you doing?
Hey, Michael. Good.
Hi.
Really good. I had a funny experience while I'm waiting on the phone. I've got conditioning raging because I made the phone call, and now it's raging because I won't get on. Isn't that great? I'm not going to get on. It's the end of the call. There's not enough time, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kicking up a big storm because the time was ticking away.
Uh-huh.
And it was so great to see that. You can't win with it.
Right. So what we can know is it rages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It rages because I phoned to connect with Sangha, and now it's raging because I might not get on the call.
Uh-huh.
Just anything to cause cause grief.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we do have a couple minutes. I just wanted to touch base and check in.
Good, good.
Things are well.
Excellent.
Very well. Transitioning from, you talked just with the previous caller about monastic practice, and I had that great opportunity to do that this summer.
Yes. How long were you at the monastery?
2.5 months.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I carried a lot of that monastic practice home with me.
Very good.
Had yes.
Extra suitcases when you left.
I had yes.
Not baggage.
I did. And it's been a wonderful transition, actually. I got my little stickies up right where I get up, and the two of the ones I'm looking at is look for the backlash, because that's my previous experiences, so ready for the backlash, and beware of the vague sensations. There's been this kind of little undercurrent that I don't have support, and it's totally false, totally false. I am
yeah.
so supported by this practice.
Yeah, and those vague sensations, they can be a killer if you're not watching for them.
Yeah, they
yeah.
can be, and I was just noticing that, yeah, they don't really say anything anymore. They project outward. They don't project on me the voices anymore. They don't tell me they hate me and all that anymore and all that. I don't know. Maybe I'm beyond it, or I got a mantra going most of the time or whatever. But it's that vague sensation of, oh. And it was funny because I didn't have a chance to have dinner before the call. So I'm sitting here kind of hungry, and then the voices came in and said, oh, that sensation of hunger, yeah, there's something wrong. And I checked in and I went, no, I'm hungry.
Right.
I haven't eaten. It's not, there's nothing wrong. It's just that I haven't eaten, and I'll eat after the call, and we'll be fine. So, yeah, those two reminders have really been very helpful. And it's tried a campaign, but no, I'm on top of it. It's tried, but no, I love the whatever, and I'm not buying it.
Yeah, and you know, when we were talking earlier with the caller about, you know, that kind of feeling that conditioned mind likes to produce of, oh God, it's
yeah.
going downhill. This is,
right.
And to have that attitude of, and of course she's going to make the little, you know, me it
mm-hmm.
chart, but that like a tennis match, you know,
yeah.
okay, yeah, all right, that one's to you,
yeah.
and now I got that one.
Yeah.
And take some of the seriousness out of it, you know. Okay,
right.
I mean, conditioning might get me. I might
mm-hmm.
fall into whatever. I'll find my way out. I can
yeah.
trust practice. I can trust the human. It's okay. All that's going to happen is I'm going to be paying attention, and I'm going to learn something. I want to learn it.
Yep. That is so my experience, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And whatever it is, I can put
yeah.
up another sticky note to remind
yeah.
me to watch out for that. Or I can get it on my recording so that
yes.
I can remind myself, hear that reminder regularly to watch out, not step in that hole again right away.
Right. And it's funny. I just finished What You Practice Is What You Have. really enjoyed it, Sherry. Really enjoyed it. My first favorite book is There's Nothing Wrong With You. I go back to it many, many, many times. But it truly is, in a sense, for me, a sequel. It really kind of follows up and reinforces all the practice things in There's Nothing Wrong With You. And I've just gotten to the recording part, the 30-day recording practices. Oh, did I give anything away? Sorry.
No. I'm glad. I'll be eager to hear how that contributes to what you're already doing.
Yeah, and I'm going to back that up with a Making Change for Good 30-day retreat. So I'm going to kind of do them parallel.
Yep, perfect.
So I can see conditioning talk me out of that recording that day, and then I can use it in my 30, Making a Change for Good 30-day retreat.
Excellent.
So it's a double-double.
It's a double-double.
I love to pile it on. Conditioning did it to me for so many years. My turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Pile it on. Quick shout-out. I know we're running out of time. I do want to say hello to those folks who scurried off the West Porch and are probably in the sitting the meditation hall.
Uh-huh.
I want to say hi to all the monks and to Sadie and to Pache. And if there's any retreats there, I'm not sure if they're hosting a retreat or not. But just want to say hello to them all and tell them that I'm just doing great and appreciate all the encouragements and support and guidances I received this summer. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
We definitely appreciate your contribution. It's great to have folks there to do all of the kinds of things that need to be done to maintain a place like that and to support the monks and support practice in that way. It's a great contribution.
It was very deepening practice for me. I feel like I got so much more than I gave, but that's the thing. The more you give, the more you get, and that's what
I got.
That's
right. And, you know, something that people in our culture, I'm including us in the same sort of Western culture here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're not accustomed to the Eastern tradition of people doing that kind of thing regularly. You know, here people think in terms of you're either going to live in the world for the rest of your life and go on retreat once in a while, or you're going to be a monk for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East, there's a great tradition of people spending extended periods of time living a religious life, living monastically to deepen their practice with the understanding that it's not their path to live monastically forever, but it is their path to have the deepest practice that they can possibly have in this lifetime. So that's great modeling for that you can arrange with your life to be away for an extended period of time, and it benefits everybody.
It's so funny you say it benefits everybody, because my wife said she's never seen me smile so much in the last 2 weeks and in our whole marriage. She just said, She said, Todd, you haven't stopped smiling since you got home. And I said, that is so true. I can't wipe the smile off my face because I'm present. I just practiced so much during that time.
Yeah.
It was just constant support and practice and practice. And I'm just not that identified most of the time.
Yeah.
Practice works. And I just want to put that out there. If you're willing to put in the practice, if you're willing to put in the commitment and the monastic schedule, the almost the full-on schedule, it works. I am not entangled with the conditioning very much. You know, I get caught here and there, but for the most part, I got a smile on my face, and I'm here.
Right. That's great.
So there's a little shout-out for the practice, and anyone else who is thinking about monastic practice, I highly encourage it.
Great.
They're able to arrange it. Well, thank you, and thanks again to the monks in the monastery, and Michael, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take good care.
All right. All right. You take good care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank
well, that
you,
was
sir.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
All of it.
You. I'm telling you, practice works, just like you said.
Yes, yes, yes. Willingness is the key.
Yes. Indeed. All right. So
thank you, Sherry.
This again next week.
Same time, same place.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Night.